Good morning, Brendan Mseta from the Department of Public Enterprises, Chief Director.
Good morning, William Gwele, CEO of Broadband Infraco.
Good morning, Imran Hassan, Chief Financial Officer, Interim Chief Financial Officer, Broadband Infraco.
Good morning, Tom Aguana, Parliamentary Liaison Officer from the
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Please bear with us. I know that this might don't have this by yesterday after we confirmed the venue, so
thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Honourable Members. I will try to use my rally voice. Thanks yet for another opportunity for us to come and present our financials.
Before members ask you which party you belong to, use your church.
I was talking about a church rally. As a woman's Manyano member. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I think that with technology cutting us off, Honourable Members, you have the presentation before them. I am with, let me begin by apologizing for our chairperson who is not well and could not be with us, the chairperson of the board. But with me, shareholder representatives, as they have introduced myself, and from the company, I am with the interim CFO, so we will be sharing the presentation together. I think I may begin by saying we do have a good story to tell from where we have started as an organization. We are very clear of what the mandate of this organization is at, and we have had to go through a transition at the end of the rights of use of contract with Neotel, where we had to stand on our two feet. So with clarity of the mandate, I will just go straight to slide number 5 and talk to the I'll use the paper presentation. I'll go straight to slide number 5, where we talk about performance against the compact for that financial year. In terms of our stakeholder engagement, where we had to ensure that our customers are okay and that we ensure that we bring more customers onto our network, because if I may remind honorable members that we only had Neotel as a customer on our network and we were only licensed in 2010. So after that period we have to ensure that we diversify our customer base and that we also have to ensure that we deliver on our mandate in terms of creating points of presence or access points in underserviced areas, but also connecting the SADC community. We also needed to ensure that we identify and collaborate with other state-owned entities as demanded by the National Development Plan, and I'm quite happy to say that in terms of those KPIs, we achieved all of them. In terms of the license obligations, as I have indicated, I think actually for that one, we went even a step further where the target was 18 and then we ensured that we achieved 25 of those specific KPIs. If we move on to slide number 7, if I look at, from a training point of view, I think ICT skills development is quite critical. We understand that those are scarce skills in this country, and as an organization, not only do we have to train the people that we have internally, but we have to bring in external people into the organization. So whilst we achieved in terms of our internal talent management and training people internally and ensuring that we understand where the culture of the organization is at, we did not achieve in terms of the number of interns, but I will talk to the KPIs we did not achieve in a separate slide. On slide number 8, again, where we have to ensure that our performance is up to scratch, we expand as required by our mandate that says that we need to ensure that we create affordable access for the people of the Republic. I think we have achieved but one. The one we did not achieve was the expansion of the Internet Protocol Core network points, where we were required to put in 20 and we did not do that. I will talk to that when I address KPIs we did not achieve. In terms of our EBITDA margins, we needed to retain and grow our revenue. We did not achieve that. And if you don't achieve your revenue, it will, of course, affect your earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. We also needed to ensure that we develop a funding plan that we did not achieve as well, and public-private partnership we did not achieve. Okay. So if I talk about the KPIs that we did not achieve in terms of interns, we were required to, at a minimum, train 10 interns. Beginning of the financial year, we did have them. We trained them before the end of their 2 years. They had been taken over by other entities. But what we have done as an organization is that because that is core to us, we are looking at ensuring that at any point in time, we at least have more than 10 interns. We have carried that KPI forward, and I am pleased to inform members that we have achieved that. Okay. But also how we intend to fund that going forward is that the Department of Science and Technology has got a program where it allows companies to take engineers specifically, so we will be tapping onto that. And then the MICT CETA also has a program where we can bring in learnership, so we will also be using that. So it is a KPI that we will not be in a space where we will not be able to achieve. In terms of expansion of Internet Protocol, which is more about evolution from the network, the current technology that we have into the Internet Protocol, we converted the core network into IP in terms of 3 nodal points of Johannesburg, Cape Town, and KZN. We were meant to expand that out further into the external points. With the funds that are available within the organization that are also impacted by the availability of funding. we could not be able to achieve that. But what we've done is to have, I could call it midway technology, where you can still provide IP technology but through Ethernet. For that specific one, I think going forward it talks to what our expansion strategies are. In terms of us retaining and growing our revenue, for this financial year was the end of the rights of use of contract with Neotel, so we reduced the number of services that we offered to them beginning of the financial year. We have also price declines in the market, and for this financial year it was about 15% price decline per annum, but we have been able to bring in other customers onto the network. For us to connect our customers onto the network, we've got to ensure that we expand. I think that is one thing that we are driving very hard as an organization, to ensure that we diversify our customer base and bring in revenues onto our network. And with us focusing on that top line, it would have an impact on the EBITDA. The CFO will talk about accumulated loss at the end of that period when he talks to the financials. In terms of the funding plan, we had applied for an MTEF in the previous year, but I think, if I may remind members, that the Minister of Finance indicated last year that there shall be no money for ICT because of the lack of policy. We welcome the approval of the policy last year because that becomes a step to us at least being able to allot funding for various other aspects. But I'm also pleased to inform members that we will be working with the Africa Development Bank in terms of assisting us to plan using their expertise. They have provided us with a grant that would be able to aid us, and we hope after that process we should be able to apply through the shareholder for a guarantee, but we should also be able to access funding through the MTEF to service underserviced areas. In terms of public-private partnerships as an organization and as required by the NDP, collaboration for us is two forms. It's collaboration from an infrastructure side and collaboration on the solutions side. On the infrastructure side, we have collaborated with other SOCs to ensure that we share our networks, but also with the private sector. On the solution side, we have collaborated with both private sector and public sector companies. Whilst we may not have achieved this in that specific year, we intend to achieve this going forward. But it also talks to one of the pillars of the newly approved broadband policy, where it talks about partnership with both the public and the private sector. Debt funding, we haven't been able to access the debt funding, but it's also linked up with us being able to have a fundable plan. We hope that going forward in the financial year, we should be able to have a plan that allows us to do that. From a business operations point of view, I'm pleased to say that as an organization, without processes, without policies, without appropriate controls, within an organization, you would have challenges. Systems are there just to automate. Where we are at right now is that we have frameworks within which we define our policies, we've mapped our processes, we understand where there are any gaps, and we put those controls in place. So there are two areas that we would be automating in the financial year that's ending now immediately. So whilst at the end of the 13th financial year these were not achieved, I'm pleased to inform members that these have been addressed and the organization is in a good state to move forward.
Okay, thanks.
I'll hand over to the CFO to take us through the financials. Thanks.
Thank you, CEO. Honourable members, for the financial period 1st of April 2012 to 31st of March 2013, the highlights around the financials. As indicated by the CEO, revenues down because of the right of use contract coming to an end and declining prices that we experienced with Newtel. The company is now transitioned from enabling the SNO to a commercially operating environment. And when we look at our customer base by diversifying, we'll have a look at that. As a result of the change in revenue, cost of sales also decreased by 37%. We got positive cash flow from operations, and just to put that in perspective, you got negative cash. The negative cash from the operations before interest is 12 million, and when we put the interest income that we received for the year, it takes us to a positive cash flow from operations of 10 million. We spent most of the cash on expanding the network, and most of that went on to the WAP system. Capital project was 109 million. We concluded the new master sale agreement with Newtel. Fortunately, we were able to keep operating costs below inflation, and the increase in operating costs was 10 million on the previous year. Pleasing to note also, 86% of our discretionary expenditure was spent with broad-based black empowerment companies, so we're doing our bit to assist black economic enterprises to move forward. We received, as from the compact, we achieved 75% of our performance target, mostly around revenue and EBITDA and funding that wasn't achieved. And 73% of total procurement spend, procurement spend, was based on the DTI framework and it's spent on triple BEE companies. If we put the internal control environment in perspective of Broadband Infraco, again an unqualified audit report. We reviewed irregular expenditure and it was backdated to 2008 and instituted some actions against employees in terms of the company policy, and that was aligned with the Labor Relations Act, and we developed a policy framework and a policy register was implemented in the year. If we now turn to the numbers, as you can see, as we explained, revenue is down from 394 in 2012 to 237. Cost of sales accordingly also decreased by 100 million, but because of substantial decrease in revenue, our gross profit shrunk by 53 million, 119 versus 65. Fortunately, operating expenses were kept in line, so operating expenses only went up by 10 million, and most of that is really in depreciation. As we put more capex in, obviously our depreciation increases. So EBITDA was 140 in 2012, declined to 203. If we look at finance income, was 54 in 2012 and 22. As we utilize the cash, obviously we've got less money in the bank, so that interest is declining. We didn't have any finance costs, so our loss for the year before tax was 181. It's up on the previous year, which was at 95, and that's a swing of 86 million. And it's really around the revenue loss that we had, that our results declined substantially. If we just analyze in slide 15, if we just analyze the makeup of the cost of sales, Newtel, of the 237, Newtel is 197, which is quite substantial part of our revenue. We have increased our other revenue from 40 to 40 in the current financial year. So you can see there's a slow beginning. What we say is baby steps in a way, as we take away from being only supplying Newtel or the second network operator, we are now diversifying our revenue, and you can see from 14 to 40, we increased by 26 million, which is quite substantial given the competitiveness of the industry. along with the decline in revenue, our managed services declined to $4 million. Fiber maintenance, as the right of use contract came to an end, went up to 67, and fiber lease 87 versus 21. So all in all, we believe our cost of sale expenditure is fairly decently under control, and we're putting in long-term contracts to ensure that that doesn't erode the future profitability.
Just make a comment. If I may just make a comment on that. The major transition from the one year to the other year indicates that some of those costs we pay directly to Neotel. The structure of the organization was such that a lot of the things were outsourced directly to Neotel, whether it be the network operating center, the management of the maintenance of the network and everything else. So whilst the revenue reduced for all the years, from year one to year five of the ROU, Neotel had the same capacity to utilize. So if you see the cost in terms of that, those lines that are going up in terms of the outsourced fee, that was money that was paid to Neotel. For the same capacity that they had received, the cost went up, but the pricing also went up, but not necessarily proportionally. So this is, that's why we said that was the end of that one period, and then the new year is when we started to ensure that everything is inside, we retrain the people, and we do everything internally.
Okay, if we go to slide 17, that will just explain our revenue mix historically, and we can see from the large orange slides, I'm sure you haven't got color, and we show it in yellow, if you just look at the board, you can see the impact that Neotel has had in the history of the company in terms of being the only customer and obviously creating its own set of problems. And 13, we're diversifying, and 14, we're slowly showing that we intend to move away from Neotel in the long term as a supplier to the company, as a customer to the company. If you look at slide 20, just to show the fixed costs, and you can see the managed services has come down quite substantially. Slide 18, honorable members. Outsource fee is fairly static, 185 to 189, and given that inflation is running at around 5.5 to 6%, that's quite good. And then the fiber lease, as the managed services come down, the fiber lease, we now have our own contract for fiber lease, that seems to increase so that we still maintain servicing the network and have capacity available for future customers. And co-location cost has more or less at the same level on a year-to-year basis.
Okay. So as we seek to do public-private and public-public partnership, we will have the fiber lease going up and the co-location, because we do not necessarily are in a situation where we want to duplicate infrastructure. Where there's existing infrastructure in place, we will utilize that infrastructure from other third parties, be they public or private. And where there is an entire industry of data center providers, we will use existing data center providers, because other networks are already in there. On the outsource fee, I mean, we moved from 169 to zero. That was because of the end of that Neotel contract.
If we just look at the balance sheet of the company, we can see the change from what we have in current assets, mainly cash, from 2010 to 2013. In 2010, we had $852 million in cash. We're now sitting on 343, but as you can see, our assets grew from 738 to 1.2 million billion. And you can see, as we're trying to establish, and most of a lot of this money was used to develop the WAC, okay, and also to build our CapEx. You can see the shareholders' equity is reducing, okay, but in that liability side is also the fact that Neotel has made losses of 484 million. Broadband has made losses of 484 million to date, to the end of March 2030. And that is a combination of the operating cost of the company plus the depreciation for the asset bills. So where we are at the moment is we're sitting on equity, shareholders' equity or shareholders' loan of 1.3 billion. Okay. The shareholders' loan has subordinated, and what that really means is, in terms for us to have a balance sheet where our liabilities is controlled, the shareholders' loans will be subordinated, and we can actually treat it as equity going forward, because it's not going to be repaid in the near future until we're profitable. If we just look at our cash on the next slide. From operations, positive skin. Okay. How did we utilize it? Mainly in CapEx. 2012 we spent 155 million. 2013 we spent 144 million. Of that 144, 100 million is allocated to the WAC network that we built up. And that put us in a position to be able to sell the capacity in the new financial year to the DST. At the slide at the bottom, cash from financing activities, you can see we earn interest of 34 million in a year as opposed to zero in the previous year. But the picture that you need to note is that our cash that we have available is coming down. So in the future, if we don't fund the business or we don't generate sufficient profit, we need to have a funding mechanism. And I think the CEO previously explained that we're looking at a variety of different options to fund the business going forward. If we look at slide 23, we're just analyzing where the capital expenditure has been over the last 4 years. And the table 1 shows that we spent 58 million in the currency on the backhaul system. And the work in progress of the table 2, 102 came for the WAC system. As that project was completed, we transferred it from work in progress into the capital system. And really, capital expenditure in this period was very much on hold because of the availability of funds. In the current financial year, we intend to meet our business plan by spending substantially more, but the capital expenditure in the past, in the 2013 year, was really just to set up the company to continue building up its commercial network. Slide 24.
22.
Slide 22. Major expenditure in the provinces, in the Western Cape. The Azerfontein site establishment for the winning of the latch was 15.5 million. In the other provinces, BCN upgrade was 6.9 million. Phase 1 of new infrastructure, we've developed 39 independent broadband infrastructure sites. That's 12.8 million. We also established regional connectivity, and this is one of the things. If we're going to have this network, we need to establish relationships with the surrounding countries. That connection cost was 4.1, and in KZN, we're trying to build our own fiber because the leasing cost over the long term will become expensive, and that was 1.6 million in the current year.
The DCN upgrade on that is for us to be able to manage our network centrally. That's why that was in all provinces. So as we move on, we try and automate, reduce the cost of ensuring that we are able to meet the required service levels as required by the CETA and the associated regulations by ICASA.
Going to irregular expenditure, and as we said previously, we actually went back to identify what the irregular expenditure was in the past, and the balance that we're carrying forward at the end of 2013 is 130 million. Although in that current financial year, there was only regular expenditure of 723,000. So the majority of the irregular expenditure that hasn't been condoned relates to prior years. 2011 and 2012 was 69 million, and that relates to incorrect processes being followed. And to address the procurement issues that we've had, we've sent people for training for both the employee that's working in the supply chain and the ancillary employees. We've implemented more controls around these expenditure, and we're also looking at changing our supply chain to have an extensive vendor management system in place. So that means we'll actually vet suppliers prior to putting them onto the system to procure services from them. But as it is, we're still sitting with a balance of 130 million in 2013 of irregular expenditure that hasn't been condoned.
Okay. Thank you, Imran. Members should be pleased to know that the Office of the Accountant General has completed its report. The report is with our lawyers studying it, the reason being there were actions taken against people. One of the matters, actually, judgment has been reserved. It's set on the 17th of December in the Labour Court. So we cannot charge people on what we have charged them previously, and we intend to have this closed in this current year that we are in. So that the investigations are complete from the Office of the Accountant General on that matter. Okay. Going forward, which talked to you, this current year that we are in, yes, we have prioritized generating our income. We should be making some announcements of ensuring that we diversifying our revenue. We also focused very much on getting government as an anchor tenant. It's long sales cycles, but we are quite happy with where we are in terms of where we focused our energy. We had prioritized the provinces of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and KZN. And those were prioritized based on our understanding of what infrastructure is available. It becomes important for us to engage the provinces, understand their plans, where insights are required, share those insights with them. So we have worked very hard in that space, and we were able in the last financial year to sign a memorandum of understanding with the province of Limpopo. Their provincial network broadband strategy has moved from LEADER, and it's back with economic development. So we're on track on that. With Mpumalanga, we are hoping that before the end of this financial year, we would have completed that. Through the Department of Public Enterprises, we have engaged thoroughly with the province of KZN and have met with the Health and the Economic Development Department of that province so that our plans are informed by what is required within the provinces, where we draw up a plan that is demand-driven. If you go to the policy that's called the digital opportunity, which is on the demand side, that the network is not just a network. So that we have been able to achieve. From a network point of view, we continue to share infrastructure because within the sector, infrastructure sharing is quite a critical thing, which is why I indicated that the fiber lease will be going up, but there's also something called capacity swap, where if you have a network, I have a network, we swap. Those engagements are ongoing. From a financial point of view, yes, we've diversified our revenues. With the assistance of the department, the Department of Science and Technology has taken up 70% of the initial capacity that is in WECS and have paid for the irrefutable rights of use for that. So we were able to get 300 million out of that, and we are
quite grateful that the shareholder representative was able to assist us to achieve that. We focus on ensuring that we, instead of expanding the network, we renew the one that we have. And I'm pleased that by the end of this financial year, we'll see a significant reduction in what we had considered to be obsolete equipment. That's what we focus on, ensuring that for the revenue that we have, the mandate deliverables that we have, we achieve those. From a competitive solution point of view, as a national backhaul provider, we need to ensure that we partner with other people who have last mile or have networks available. So if I put it for an example, the Western Cape went out on a tender for their broadband. We responded to that tender, but we responded to that tender with other private sector companies. Depending on the availability of the network, of infrastructure in those such a specific area. So we continue to do that which we need to do and ensure that we prioritize and deliver service levels. So what we had promised that we would do, we have been able to do in this financial year. From a, because we're reporting end of 2013, but we are almost at the end of 2014, so I'm just going to try and track things forward. The policy has been approved. We do intend to apply for MTEF through the shareholder representative, but there will be better clarity from our side what we need those monies for. We are also engaging with USASA because some of our license obligations are also aligned with their obligations. So we exploring that. We cannot at this stage apply for USASA funds until they have finalized their strategy for underserviced areas, but there is continuous engagement in that regard. From a DST point of view and the monies outstanding from them, we do have 300 million that was paid to us in December. We will continue to work with the shareholder to ensure that we get the rest of the monies that are due to the company. And from a capital investment point of view, as I have indicated, we do have grant funding from the African Development Bank to assist us that we build a robust enough plan. From our us diversifying our customers on slide number 27, that is an ongoing process. I think if I may start with CETA, because we've been working with the state IT company since 2012, because that's where capacity of government is aggregated. So we continue to engage with them, find the synergies, and say that the backhaul infrastructure that is currently used by the state IT company is InfraCore backhaul. So we're trying to identify synergies there and see how we can best work with them and ensure that in line with the pillar of digital opportunity in line with the one of the pillars of the broadband policy, we ensure that we align with other SOC companies. With regards to the private sector, we will be making an announcement quite soon. We have been able to back significant private sector companies as customers, so I do not want to let the cat out of the bag now, but definitely before the financial year end we will be doing that. But it's because we took the first year that 2013 ended, and for this year we needed to say, how do we diversify? What is it that our customers actually want from us? How do we actually build with that? And with the robustness of the board and of the shareholder, we needed to ensure that we become realistic in terms of the kind of capex that we are willing to spend and the kind of revenues that we will be bringing onto the organization. So that is on track. From an organization internally point of view, we have focused on people quite a lot. We have a very young organization at an average age of 34. I think that our employment equity is in line. We are quite happy. Of course, we have to revert with the 26 changes that are new in the new act. We have to ensure that we realign ourselves to that new act going forward. So we have focused on people, but we have focused on core skills. We focus on engineers, technicians, project managers. We focus on marketing and sales because those are the people that have to ensure that we attain our sustainability. We also focus on governance significantly in terms of policies, processes, controls that are in place, but also awareness, training people on what is it that is required of them. So I'm very comfortable and happy to say that from a culture point of view in the organization is a positive one. That's why I said we do have a good story to tell in terms of where the organization is coming from and where the organization is at. I have summarized in terms of the provinces, what is it that we have done. We have worked with all of the provinces, actually. I talked about Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, KZN. When the Western Cape was busy with planning before the tenders went out, we provided quite a lot of input. In terms of what is the infrastructure. We provided the consultants that were being used then with information of what was required. The same with the Free State, we did the same thing. So those engagements with the provinces are truly ongoing, but that is to ensure that we understand what it is that the provinces are required and that there isn't any duplication. From a Gauteng point of view, with the three metros in Gauteng having their own network. Of course, Gauteng has awarded the tender for the expansion of their network, but the way we work with both private and public sector, it's not just about building for the sake of building. Our interest is more about connecting the three networks of Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, and Johannesburg, that there is interconnectivity between those specific networks. The ETS license, without waiting for the directive, and I hope that honorable members will continue to assist us on this one, our board has approved for us to go and apply, follow a different process. So in the last board meeting, they approved for us to go and apply for that license. So that's another avenue that we are exploring as an organization, as has been approved. From a broadband policy point of view, without going through all of that point, the pillar of digital readiness talks to infrastructure. That's where we play. I'm pleased to inform members that we do have a collaboration agreement with Eskom. There is fiber sitting with Eskom. There is fiber sitting with Transnet. So wherever Eskom rolls out infrastructure, there is fiber allocation agreed. That there is capacity that is there, but not all the capacity will be used. So we are... Yes, we have. With Eskom, we are far ahead because we've already agreed on the allocation. What's outstanding for us is to say how do we transact and how do we ensure that those companies' books are clean in doing that. With Transnet, we are at the initial stages, but the principle has been agreed. What that does is, instead of just the 12,000-13,000 odd kilometers of fiber, then the significant fiber available. But for Eskom as well, what that does is collaboration and alignment of plans. Because Eskom's plan, 1,000 kilometers of the fiber that they will be building addresses a third of a portion of our network that is problematic. So that alignment of planning is quite critical for us. Okay. We also are engaging with all of the providers, not only the SOCs. We are engaging with Dark Fiber Africa, we are engaging with Telkom, we are engaging with the mobile operators and exploring infrastructure sharing, infrastructure swapping and leasing from each other available infrastructure rather than just building for the sake of building, because this country does require capacity. Yes, we also are engaging with PASA, correct, as the CFO has reminded me. From a digital development point, which is the other pillar of the policy that talks to government as an anchor tenant, aggregation would happen at national departments or at provincial level. So that process is what we had explored. It's part of how we do business, because we believe that what in the past we achieved our license obligations in terms of putting POPs. We don't want to do that. We want to put POPs, and that the POPs must be utilized. That's why we engage with the provinces on that. Again, on the policy, we hope to still be part of the CIP 15, the technical planning and design, because we believe that we do have a role to play as a carrier neutral, but also as a national backhaul provider of choice. The National Broadband Council, we will be represented with that, with a push from the shareholder department, and we will engage again through the shareholder department about the digital future that talks about a consortium model that has to be developed as is in the present policy. So we're working quite closely with the department, because we have a policy. What's critical is what is the implementation and how do you transition from one phase to the next phase. That's the process that we'll be engaging on. But whilst we are doing that, it's a process where we wouldn't like to lose the skills that we have within the organization. We're still running the organization and driving for us to get to a positive point. And that is our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Monday, but I'm just worried because Monday see that the priority is to the customers. I don't see any priorities with those kind of service areas. I want to come back to the personal data. Your engagement with the communication with the department, how fast is it? And you also say that I see that they are not doing a lot of things. But that Monday, that is just lying there. I'm worried.
Thanks, honorable members. With regards to the report of the accountant general, we shall duly oblige and send it to the shareholder for presentation to the portfolio committee. With regards to the honorable Maria's question, the broadband policy indicates a figure. And of the monies that are required to expand broadband, and I would like to believe that with the policy that today we will hear a good story about what has been set aside. Without preempting the fiscus, we will be setting up the application. We didn't do it for the cycle now, but for the June cycle we'll definitely will be doing it through the department. So I hope that answers your question. In terms of the mandate moving quite slowly, I think that the company has got two mandates, a socio-economic mandate and a commercial mandate of ensuring that we are sustainable. I presented that in terms of our license obligations, because they stipulated quite clearly which areas we need to go to, because those are the areas that are identified as underserviced. We have been able to achieve that. What we are doing is matching demand with just rolling out. Instead of us just wanting to put a tick, we want to ensure that it is utilized. That's why we have the engagement with the provincial government. But that also would be addressed by the digital opportunity pillar that talks about aggregating government demand, if I may call it, what the user-paced model. Government requires services to the citizens, and government requires that it has that infrastructure in place. And one of the ways of doing that is to ensure that we align with health being a huge demand, and I'm going to say universities as well, or research institutions in the country and where your economic hubs are at. So the planning of this national backhaul and what we have planned as a national backhaul infrastructure has those considerations in place. So it may look like the implementation is slow. We've delivered in terms of our licenses, but we've also engaged and planned with other players to ensure that we plan networks that will be utilized. The ECS license I will leave to the shareholder representative.
Thank you, CEO. Honorable member, if you would recall, sometime last year, the members of the committee requested that the ministers need to meet and try to resolve these issues. At the time, at the Department of Communications, it was Minister Dinapule. Our minister did meet her, and they agreed. What she said, frankly, she said she found it upset that BDI doesn't have an ECS license. And as far as she recalls, These were supposed to have happened long time ago, because they managed to license about 500 other private sector companies. So there was an agreement that needs to be implemented. So the question was what is it that is needed to happen? Of which the answer is that what they needed to do was to issue a policy directive, because the process is that they issue the policy directive, then to ICASA, then ICASA will issue the invitation to apply to DDR. Yes. So they agreed that that's only what is needed. It's just to change the policy directive that says not to issue. It's just to change a word not, take out the word not, and to say issue broadband infraco. So that was up to implementation. But at an official level, that did not happen until the minister changed, and then minister made an effort again and met the new minister, and they agreed exactly the same thing. And still then, it hasn't happened. So it is mainly at a... Thank you. So it is mainly at that stage wherein the ministers do agree, but where it is supposed to be implemented, it doesn't happen, and it hasn't happened up to this far. So I think where it is now, I think somehow probably the committees would have to meet and try to resolve it with the committee of communication, portfolio committee in communication, where probably maybe the push could come from there, because the ministers did meet on that one.
Chair, indicated that in the absence of that policy directive, we are applying administratively. We are allowed to do so, and we would be applying for that. On the comment the Honourable Chair made about the representation of the board, we will convey the message loud and clear to the board, the importance of attendance to this meeting.
Can you tell me that there's no response yet on your application?
No, the board only made a resolution. We made a presentation to them last week, because we had to, at the last board meeting, which was last week, we made a presentation to them that we would like to apply, and they resolved that we should go ahead and apply for the license.
We don't have much time really I think that's very interesting.